If you're a visitor here at Miracle Life, we are so glad that you're here. And from time to time, we have services that are kind of family chats. And this is one of those. And we hope that you'll be blessed by the Word of God today. But this is for us to talk together as a family. How many of sometimes your families get together to talk? And so we're going to do that today with the perspective of God's Word. And we looked at this last week that that in Exodus chapter 3, that God has plans and purposes that He wants to accomplish on the earth. And whenever He has a design to do something, He finds a person that will work with Him, a partnership, all right? And so God does not work independently. Can we turn these lights on? Is that? Thank you so much. God doesn't work independently from us, but He works in partnership with us. And so we found Moses in Exodus 3, and he said, Moses, I'm going to take the children of Israel out of Egypt. And that's a great idea, isn't it? And it takes a lot of miracles to do that. But then he tells him, he says, but Moses, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and you're going to deliver my people. And so what happens is when God gives these commissions from here to there, very soon the inadequacies of the human partnership are found out. All right. Aren't you glad that when we partner with God and there's a problem, aren't you glad that the problem is never, ever God? You know, if you are involved in a type of work, sometimes maybe as an electrician or an engineer, sometimes you have to find a fault, don't you? You have to figure out, okay, where did something go wrong so we can fix it? Maybe we need to redesign it. But in a God and human partnership, as far as looking to God to see what went wrong, we don't have to ever, ever worry about Him because He's faithful and He's unfailing in what He does. But the human side begins to feel the strain. The human side begins to realize, I don't know if I have what it takes. And that's where God's grace comes through. But also what we see throughout the Word of God is even when there is someone operating in grace and a gifting, that grace that's upon their life is still limited, all right? Ephesians 4 says that we have all received a measure of the grace that's on Jesus. Aren't you glad that we don't get a second-rate version? You know, not a, you know, instead of a Nokia phone, it was the, you know, Nokiei, you know, or a Gucci purse that's spelled wrong. No, it's the same grace that was on Jesus when He was on the earth. A portion of that we get to live in and we get to operate in. Now, all of that grace is given to the whole body of Christ, but we realize, you know what? I'm going to need people alongside of me to work with me. And so, remember, God recognized that in Adam and says, this guy is going to need some help. It is not good that Adam is alone. Men, can you say amen? It is not good that we're alone, all right? And so I'm going to talk about this next year, but let me just mention this. I heard this recently. When God says, I'm going to make someone that will be a helper to you, sometimes throughout the world history, sometimes people think it's kind of like a maid, a cook, you know, a PA, someone to kind of just, you know, help tidy things up. But really, the man is the man. Well, it's interestingly that the Hebrew word, when God says, I'm going to create someone that will help you, the Hebrew word for help in the rest of the Old Testament, that word help is attributed to God Himself. And maybe, you know, God's not a PA or a maid. He's God. So the strength of who He is was put in the woman. And yeah. Amen. And that's why, of course, that's why Adam called her that, right? It's because God says, all right, here's Eve. And he goes, whoa, man. And the name stuck, woman. That's what the Hebrew, I'm serious. No, I'm just, all right. So from day one, Moses, David, the early church, everybody realizes eventually that, okay, yes, I'm working with God. I'm operating under his grace. But what I have, it's not enough. I need the grace that's in other people to be on this team that God wants to accomplish something on the earth. Now, the journey that God has called Miracle Life to is not a physical journey. It's not from one plot to another plot, from Egypt to Canaan land. But the journey of a local church is that people who are far from God, who don't know God or have been given up on God, that those people find Jesus and they find a home in the family of God. But that salvation experience, Jesus said, born again. That experience is not the end of God's plan, it's the beginning of God's plan. And that all of us have that are in Christ, God has a predetermined ending point for us, and that's to be conformed into the image, not of the senior pastor, your spiritual father or mother, but of Jesus Christ, to be conformed into his image. And that's what the journey of a local church is about. And we saw in Acts chapter 6 that sometimes in that journey, there's some potholes, there's hurdles, there's struggles. And in Acts chapter 6, it says, when the number of disciples was multiplying, all right, so that's an awesome thing. So the church is growing, but then some things that they wanted to do and that God wanted to do, they weren't getting done. Because the apostles, it seemed like they weren't very good at food distribution to the widows, to the Greek widows. And so now there's squeaky wheels and there's complaints and things are not okay. And so the apostles said, you know, this is too much for us to do. Let's go find seven awesome guys and let's give them this business. Now, it's very much like a business. It's food distribution, buying. There had to be, I'm sure, receipts and all those kinds of things. How do we get this out? So, you know, it wasn't prophesying. It wasn't singing. But it was an important thing that had to be done in the church, right? And so then they began to do that. The apostles were then back in their spot where God had limitedly anointed them to do. And then at the end of that passage, another cool thing happened. Then the disciples began to multiply again. And so the cool thing about Miracle Life is that God has blessed us to be a growing church. And people here find Jesus Christ. And they find Jesus Christ through you and through different things, touch points here at the church. And every Sunday, people give their hearts to the Lord and through the Alpha course. And we have water baptism. And so there's all this cool thing happening. But there's also things that are left undone because the grace that's on some folks, it's limited. And so one of the things that we talked about last week is that our church, for a number of years, and we've talked about this as my wife and I, a lot of prayer, our board, our staff, but we wanted it to open it up to the whole church because it's not the problem of 15 people, it's our problem, because there are things that God wants to have happen at Miracle Life that some of the wheels are sticking and we need to go forward. And two of those gifts that we want to bring on board at our church are people who will help lead ministries and lead churches and some that will lead all the business side of the church. You would be amazed if you knew how much business stuff happens at a church. Of insurance and vehicles and HR and payroll and NAPSA and pay as you earn and stuff that it doesn't necessarily bless me, but you have to do it because it's all important. And so we want to have somebody, an administrator, that will look after that side of the church, and something that churches are doing all over the world that's really cool is an executive pastor that helps equip and helps lead ministries with strategy and how to implement and how to get things done for God. And if you think about it this way, God has put just not too many, but a few gifts in my life. One of them is teaching, pastoral gift. But the need that the church has for teaching and for pastoring, it's more than I can physically do. I can't talk to everybody. I can't preach at every school for life. And so we've got some awesome people. We've got other pastors here and other people that even that have been raised up that where those gifts have also been distributed to them. And so other people teach and other people counsel and other people do weddings and funerals. And so the anointing and the gift of God is spread to other people. Amen? Because here's the thing. If it was only limited to me, is you might have a problem on Friday, but I'm so tired of talking to people on Friday. And you say, Pastor, can you talk to me? No, I don't really care. I'm just go home. And that's not caring for the flock, is it? So we allow that anointing, and God makes a plan to get that anointing on a whole bunch of people. And so the administrative side of the church and to help build ministries and provide structure and policy, all that kind of stuff, my wife is fantastic with that. And God has really graced her there. But she only has 24 hours in a day. And to be honest, I'd like a couple of them for me. No, just kidding. Not really. Yeah, just kidding. All right. But so that grace that's on her, that grace needs to be on some other people. And so two of those people that we're hunting and looking for, and we want you to help us in prayer and to trust God and to speak the same thing are these two positions. And we believe that while Miracle Life has had some great days, there are going to be some even greater days as this happens. And how many of you know that at our old building, our future was not at our old building. And our future of Miracle Life is not with our existing structure, but God's going to bring some people. And so we talked about that. And I want to look at some of the how of that works. And I hope this will also help you because I believe there is a leadership mandate on Miracle Life. And many of you are leading in different areas and walks of life. And leadership is there's a gifting, but then there's also wisdom from God's word that we can incorporate into our leadership. And I hope some of the things that we say today, yes, it's for our church, but I hope it'll also help you where you are to lead better and to work with people. Now, look at 3 John. 3 John, it only has one chapter, so it's just 3 John. And look at verse 3. 3 John, verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Everybody say walk. All right? Look at verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. So John, as an apostle, as someone who is ministering to this group of people, he was saying, man, I am so thrilled to hear this report that the truth that I know that's in you, that you are living it out. And he says, you know, there is no greater joy that I have than to hear that you are walking in the truth. Now, how many of you know that we can find in life, we can find joy from a variety of sources, all right? I had Nando's chicken last night, and I received joy, all right? It gave me joy. And it was just dry bones. The valley of dry bones was left on my plate. But I would say that for my wife and I, this, as pastors of this church, I really connect with John's feelings right here. that I have no greater joy. My wife has no greater joy than to hear that you're walking in the truth. Now, not that, you know, on Sunday morning, somebody said, amen. Or, you know, I don't know if you've been to church where somebody, they'll get out a handkerchief and they'll wave it, you know. Preach it, you know. That there's really no joy in that, all right? But to hear that the Bible and who God is has been incorporated into your mind and your heart and your lifestyle, and you are living it out. Oh, that is Nando's chicken times 1,000. Such joy. Now, I would also say on the flip side, for us as pastors, there's probably no greater sadness, frustration, than to hear that you're not walking in the truth. Now, we still love you, and we will not give up on you, but it is sad. And part of our job is every week, as pastors, as leaders here, we get some of those reality checks. And it's frustrating. And we hope to get you back on the living the truth side. But in order for us as a congregation to be able to fulfill this out, that God's word is getting into our minds and our hearts, and more importantly, it's getting into our feet. It's getting into our what we say and how we treat our spouse. It's getting in how we write checks and how we conduct our business. For that to happen, these folks are needed here at the church, all right? And you know, there are cool things that happen at church. You know, we finished the paving, and that was cool. And, you know, we've paid down the loan this year. That's cool. Those are good reports. But the greatest report is to see what happens in your life and to see your kids and the youth of this church and things happening, people being restored, and then you fulfilling the destiny that is on your life and the plan and the purpose that God has you here, and that you would hit the full redemptive potential of your life. And that's what Miracle Life is all about. So, in order for that to happen, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, every part, not just two parts or pastor's parts, but every part must do its share, its portion. You know, how many of you know if you woke up tomorrow morning and your liver or your kidneys or your lungs decided, you know, I don't think I'm going to do my part today. How many of you know you would be in big trouble? Or you're driving to work and your arms decided, I'm not going to do my part. Well, there's going to be a collapse of your body. Okay, and so everybody is important for it to go forward. Now, I want to share this with you. I just felt it would be good. Because sometimes we, in life, all of life, how many of you know sometimes you get so involved in the everyday stuff of life that sometimes it's hard to look down the road of what God has. And so there's a vision, and we wrote it down because God said, write it down, make it plain. And a vision is always about the future. It's always about what's coming up. And there's a vision. It's a little bit long, but I just took a few pieces of it. But I want to share this because this is what God has for this church, and we have a vital part to play in this nation. The vision of Miracle Life is we see a blazing light coming from Lusaka, Zambia. This light is a church named Miracle Life Family Church, and we have seen its future brightness with God, and it is a future that must come to pass and will come to pass. And we want you to see it with us. It's a church where God's word reigns supreme. It grows and prevails against unbelief, culture, worldly influence in the lives of you and me. It creates Christ-formed lives. God's word is taught clearly, believed deeply, lived purposefully, and shared freely. As God's word rises in the hearts of us, its influence is inescapable in the nation. Tell your neighbor, inescapable. It is a church that is radically intentional and effective to present each person mature in Christ. This church works with God's power and grace to grow up believers in ourselves and others into Christ-like followers who love, obey, and produce inordinate amount of fruit in our life. We reach our full potential in Christ as we take full responsibility for our lives, for our families, and for our nation. We steward what God has given us, and then we pass on something greater to another generation. We see a church where believers are developed through a process into godly leaders who are mature in character with knowledge and skill. These leaders impact our church, our city, our nation, and our world. We see these leaders taking positions as teachers in schools, MDs in organizations, fathers of families, presidents of countries, heads of international agencies. And each of these institutions are transformed by godly practices and principles. See, this is what God says. And this vision comes some from the Word of God, some from the Holy Spirit, but it's all about what Miracle Life is becoming. And we see glimpses of it here and there, but it's the destination that God has for us. And this vision is big. And I'll be honest, in my life, I never imagined that I would be helping to lead a church of 3,000 plus people, all right? And, you know, it's exciting, but it's also hard work, all right? And, you know, I've got gray hair, but a little bit earlier than my dad had gray hair, okay? But the other thing that I believe that God is speaking to us as a church, Jesus said this. He said, to whom much is given, and we like that given part, don't we? To whom much is given, and sometimes we finish the rest of that for ourselves. To whom much is given, woo, we have big parties. We have big egos. To whom much is given. To whom much is given, we brag a lot about how awesome we are. Well, God has a different way of looking at to whom much is given. To whom much is given, much is required. Now, here's a kind of a news flash. In case you haven't noticed, at Miracle Life, much has been given. The favor of God on this church for 16 years is ridiculous. It is amazing. Stuff that God has done for us and in your lives and for us as a family, it just doesn't make sense. And we buy a piece of land for hardly anything. I think it's gone up 10 or 20 times since we bought it. And we bought it on a dirt road, and now there's a paved road. And they're going to build stuff all around us. And we thought we were building a church in the bush, and right now we're going to be right in the middle of the city. God's favor is here, and he's blessed us, and he's helped us. Well, guess what, folks? To whom much is given, much is required, okay? And required means that somebody is going to be asking, did you do it? And it's not the board, it's not the leaders, it's the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. And that we'll stand before him and we'll give an account as our part here, did we do our part? And so there's stuff that's required of us. Now, as we are looking to build our team, what I want to do is look in the Word of God as, how do you find people? How do you get people? You know, if you're single, some of this may apply to you, all right? If you're running a business and that business is expanding, some of this will apply to you. Because I used to think, and I had a really funny idea when I was in high school and in college, because I was seeking to build my team, Team Walker. And the first addition to my team is I wanted a wife, all right? And so I thought maybe that, you know, somebody went, you know, because I think God wanted to be involved in that process. So I thought he was going to pick her, you know. And and that somehow maybe she would just come down in a parachute into my life, you know? Or I'd wake up without a rib and here comes this woman, you know? But I realized later, and kind of the hard way, because it took me a long time to figure this out, that it's my choice, but that I go with his guidelines on how to choose, all right? Otherwise, I would have done what Adam said. This woman that you gave me. Well, no, nobody had a gun to my head on May the 18th, 1991, when I got married. That was my choice, right? So how do we make choices? How do we build teams? Look at a couple of places here. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And as we're trusting God for our administrator and our executive pastor, what are they going to look like? Well, they're going to look a lot like this. Philippians chapter 2. Paul has someone that he had been involved in ministry with, Timothy. They traveled together, and Timothy later became the pastor of Ephesus. But he's writing to the church at Philippi, but he can't get there. He's in prison. But he loves them, and so he realized, I can't get to you physically, but I would still like to know how you're doing. I'd still like to interact with you. And so he was suggesting something that I think all of us understand, and that is a representative, right? Someone who represents you. But imagine, how many of you, when you got married, men, you had a representative? You had a representative. Come on. Are you asleep? You had a representative, right? But would it have been sad if you sent your representative and then went to the wrong house? And you didn't get Matilda, you got Jane. And at the wrong price. And they didn't represent you. Because he said, well, you didn't want that one. I made my decision on my own. No. If you have a representative, they exist to carry your wishes, your desires. You're not there, but they are. And so this was the context of what Paul was talking about here. He said, I trust the Lord, verse 19, in the Lord Jesus, to send Timothy to you shortly, that I may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust the Lord that I myself shall come shortly. What we want to talk about is four C's in picking people, and that four C's as we're trusting the Lord. And one was mentioned here in this passage, and that is character. Character. It's who you are on the inside, and it's what you live on the outside. And godly character is someone that their character, their lifestyle, reminds us of God. It is a life that's been fashioned after him. So there's character. Second C is competency, that they have a skill. They can get the job done. They don't just have a good heart, but they are able to accomplish whatever the task is that needs to be done. Another three is chemistry, and not in a laboratory, but how do you get along? Is the team better because of them on it? How many of you know, if you've watched football matches, you realize that sometimes you can get, you know, the best striker from another league and he joins the team, but the chemistry isn't great, right? And the team goes down. You know, in Zambian football, one of the coolest things about Zambian football is when somebody scores a goal, they don't dance by themselves. They don't. Did you watch the game last week? Yeah, so he scores a goal, and he goes off, and he's like, come on, guys, come on. Ready? Ready? One, two. Doom, 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 and there it goes. In other parts of the world, in leagues, you know, they go over to the corner flag, and they're, you know, doing their thing, and it's all about me. And so that chemistry if they join Chipolopolo, around here, we dance together. And I'm a left back, but when we score a goal, I'm the chief dancer. Because we're a team. It's chemistry. How do we get along? All right? And then the last C, the fourth C, is calling. Calling. Not that this is a good idea, but it's a God idea. Is God involved in this? Has God given someone assignment? It's not a job. It's a calling. It's an assignment from heaven. Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Paul said, I'm an apostle, not of man, but from God. Now, I work with men, I get along with people, but my job came from heaven. And so, character, competency, chemistry, and calling. So, in Philippians chapter 2, Paul said, you know his proven character. Again, proven character means they are already that way. It means they're not in rehabilitation. They are already awesome. Amen? Oh, I get so saddened when single people tell me, and I ask them, I say, well, you know, what's the spiritual condition of your boyfriend, your girlfriend? Well, they say they're a Christian. They say, you know, he's got a taxi Jehovah Fire. No. What is their proven character? You've heard me say this, but when someone shows you who they are, believe them. Believe them. All right, so Paul was saying, Timothy's awesome. You know what I'm talking about, what he's like, because he's lived this way before you. So someone who's proven. Verse 20, he says, with Timothy, I have someone who is like-minded. And it's a Greek compound word, isosuke. Chemistry class, remember, isotope meaning the same, iso, suke, on the inside, psychology. So isosuke, Timothy and I, we look different on the outside, but in our heart, we're identical. Same thing. And so I can't go when he goes, it might as well be like me being there. And so we're trusting for an administrator, an executive pastor, that will have the same heart. Not the same body or background or even skill set, but the same heart as my wife and I, like Timothy was to Paul. Now, look over at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, and this is a great example. When God was commissioning the tabernacle, so again, this is God's idea. It's God's plan. The local church is his idea. And building it, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. All right. And so God speaking to Moses is, I want to dwell with my people. I want to dwell among them. And in the first part of that chapter, God told Moses, he says, about the people, and it's 2 million people. He says, Moses, let them build according to the plan that I will show you. Okay. We can't have 2 million plans because that doesn't work. But I'm going to show you a plan, but Moses, I don't really even want you to build it. I want you to let them, empower them, let them build according to the plan that I give you. And everywhere in the world, a leader has to be giving direction, right? And hopefully, husbands and MDs and politicians, hopefully it's from God. I got this direction, this plan from God, and let's build this together. And so, part of this building process was amazing. Look at this, Exodus 35:30. Then Moses told the people of Israel, the Lord has specifically chosen. There's that calling, isn't there, right? God has specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. The Lord has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God. So God has chosen him, and with that calling, with that appointment, there comes an endowment, a grace, and he's filled him. Now notice what he's filled him with, Because, you know, when we think of anointing, sometimes the only context of anointing we have is of someone in a shiny silver suit that can tell you where you live. And that's the anointing. Now, that's kind of amazing, but, you know, to be honest, I know where I live. Thank you. I appreciate that, you know. But the anointing is for anything that God commissions on the earth. And I am so completely aware, and I believe that at Miracle Life Family Church, God wants to choose you and fill you with His Spirit to be an educator, to be in government, to be a mom and a dad, filled with His Spirit and His anointing. And it doesn't make you weird, it makes you useful. Makes you useful and productive. So what was this man filled with the Spirit for? Well, God gave him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and carving wood. He is a master at every craft. Now, why is that really cool? It's because that skill was needed to build the tabernacle. That skill was not present in Moses. That skill was not present in Aaron. Were they anointed? Yes. Not to do that. But God realized, hey, we've got to get this done, so I'm going to fill him with this stuff. And, you know, we don't talk about this guy a whole lot, but he was useful to God to do what God had assigned him to do and anointed him to do it. Verse 34, and the Lord had given both him and Oholiabab, son of this other guy, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach. Listen. All right. I don't want you to miss this part. Asimak, yeah, all right. Both of these guys, God gave them the ability to teach their skills to others. So they were filled, they were anointed, they had the fruit of that because people could see, man, you are a master craftsman. But they also had the ability to give it away. They could take somebody who didn't have all of that skill and say, hey, come hang out with me for a couple days. And all of a sudden, now, this other guy, he's a master. He's learned it. God gave them the ability and the ability to teach it. And boy, I tell you what, one of the things that I believe God is sending Miracle Life is these guys right here to say, you know what? Man, I know how to do this, but I'm not just going to be the one that everybody just wows about. But hey, come here, let me show you. Let me show you how to build a team. Let me show you how to. We're gonna double connection groups this year. I can do that. But here, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to teach you how to do it. Amen? So God is sending us these folks. The Lord gave them special skills as engravers, designers, embroiderers, and purple, blue, and scarlet thread on fine linen cloth and weavers. They excel as craftsmen and as designers. So not only can they do it, but they can think the process through and design the whole thing. All right? So God chose them. They were specifically anointed by God. They were skilled with great wisdom and ability and to give it away. Now, here's what I thought as I was looking at this passage. The Bible says that God in our covenant, in the new covenant, He is not building a tabernacle made with hands. This one was made with hands. But He is building a holy habitation for Himself. And that is you. You are the temple of God. You are the people of God. And God is building into our lives. And if God would choose and anoint and skill people to build a tabernacle that today is gone. That tabernacle isn't on the earth today. It was here, but now it's gone. How much more will he give these types of people for his eternal work? The lives of people to build his church. Amen? Now, a couple other places where God says to look for folks. Exodus 18, Jethro says, Moses, man, bring some guys on your team. The guys you're looking for, Moses, I'm telling you, verse 21, he says they're able men. They fear God. They're men of truth. And they hate covetousness. Oh, I like that. Just a thought. May God raise up 10,000 leaders in Zambia who hate covetousness. And may you be among those 10,000. And may you go be a light and salt. So anyway, so God says, hey, look for these kinds of guys. Acts chapter 6, we saw last week when they said, okay, we need to appoint some people over this food distribution business. Well, what kind of guys? All right, what kind of people? Well, not just anybody, but verse 3, men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. So that means if you can be full of the Holy Spirit, you can be not so full of the Holy Spirit, right? So these are the types of people that we're looking for and we're going to find in Jesus' name. Amen? So, character, competency. Man, they are masters at what they do. Chemistry. I kind of thought about this. You remember when God called Barnabas and Paul to work together, and unfortunately they had a breakup in Acts chapter 15 over John Mark, and John Mark had left, and Barnabas believed in John Mark but wanted to help, and Paul said, man, I don't need those kind of guys on my team. And Paul was a get-it-done type of a guy, and Paul found someone that in Silas evidently that worked very well with him, because when they were in that Philippian jail and they had been beaten 39 times, the Bible says that Paul and Silas were singing praises to God. It doesn't say that Paul was encouraging Silas, don't give up, buddy, come on, we can do it. No, Silas, there was a strength in him. And for all we know, Silas started the song. You know, they're beating, they're bruised, their ribs are broken, there's blood. And it might have been Silas that started tapping his foot. Every praise unto our God, every word of worship. And Paul, that's good, let's do this, right? There was a chemistry, they could work together. And that's so, so important. Now, let's look at this last part for calling, Acts 13. Now, all of these components are important. All of them are important. Acts 13, and this was the beginning of that journey with Paul and Barnabas. Also, obviously, was Saul at one point. In Acts 13, verse 1, it says, as they ministered, this is verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. I have called them. I'm going to ask you a question. In your life, and I know if you're a young person, you are, in many ways, you are preparing for your life, and there's skills that are coming to the surface. There's character that's being developed. It's very much a time of preparation. But let me ask everybody over the age of 30, do you know your calling? Do you know your calling? Do you know your assignment from God? And please hear me out. People that are called to a pulpit type of ministry, those are not the all-stars of the body of Christ. Those aren't the special select ones. No, really, our job is to prepare you for works of service. You're the all-stars. You're the ones making a difference. You're the one that is changing the world, all right, in every realm of society. But are you aware what God has separated you to do? And let me encourage you, if you're not clear about that, life is going to be confusing for you, all right? And please hear me out, that calling doesn't get settled in your heart just because you went to a prayer meeting 25 years ago and someone says you're a prophet to the nations, all right? There's a development process. There is an awareness of God has wired me a certain way. And I know what I'm good at. And I know where I'm a blessing. And I know what I feel passionately about. I know what lights me up on the inside. I know that when I do it, two things happen. Oh, I feel awesome on the inside. And the world is blessed by God when I do it. I want to encourage you, if that's not real clear to you, I pray that it will be. I pray that you'll spend enough time with God and with other people and to say, hey, God, you know, I want to live the rest of my life knowing what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, we call, really what God has called all of us to is a vocation. Some people have jobs that pay the bills. But do you have a vocation? Do you have an assignment from heaven? And I firmly believe that there are people that are on planet Earth, and your vocation is to be a strong, Holy Spirit-filled lawyer. And you're going to bring God's idea of justice here on the earth. Not our weird idea, but God's idea. You're gonna make a difference. And so anyway, these guys knew, separate unto me them for the work. Everybody say the work. The work, the work, the work. Not the benefits, not the titles, not the prestige. And isn't it interesting that even in this calling, even in this separation, God didn't say, yay, you shall be a national prophet. You shall be a regional overseer and a forensic prophet to the nations. No, he said, I've got work for you to do. So go get on a blue suit, get some tools, and let's get to work. Amen. It's all about the work that God has for us to do. And so they prayed, laid their hands on, commissioned them, and sent them their way. And thank God they went their way. And the work flourished. And the work was done. Amen? So, for us individually, we should be about the work that God has called us to do. But also as a family, to say, God, we are trusting you today at Miracle Life that we believe that the work that you've asked us to do, Lord, we need some master craftsmen. We need a couple of Bezalels that, Father, you've asked them, you've equipped them, and you have filled them. And they're going to do something for us, and we're going to do that together. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to pray again today, all right? And I really, I thank you for coming. Obviously, if you were here last week, you came back this week. And I know that today's sermon isn't necessarily going to give you a new marriage, all right, or money, more money in your pocket, but I think it'll make a big difference in our life as a family. And so we just felt that it was good to take corporate responsibility that, Father, we're looking to you and we're trusting you, Father, that the need that we have in our church, it's right now it's not land, it's not another building, that's not our need right now, but Lord, we have need for some of these folks that are going to help build the lives and build the ministries of this church. Amen? So we're going to pray again today, and I want us to pray a couple things. There's a whole packet of information that, you know, you may say, well, I might be that guy. all right? Or I think my aunt might be that person, okay? There's packets of information that are at the information booth. They'll be available here. You can get them today or during the week. You can tell somebody to stop by. But we want to trust God that we will be led by the Spirit. Not led by money, not led by desperation, but led by the Spirit of God. So Romans chapter 8 says, those who are the sons of God, the children of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. So I want us to claim that for our church, that you'll be led, that people will be led, that all during all the different talks and interviews and prayers and that whole process, Lord, lead us. He's a good shepherd. So let's pray that he'll lead us. Also, let's pray Colossians 1 verse 9. A fantastic New Testament prayer. It says that we would be filled with the knowledge of His will. And what's nice about being, when you are filled with the knowledge of His will, guess what? There's no room for yours. All that's there is the knowledge of His will. And it comes in a couple ways. It says, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. All right. So wisdom is godly common sense. It's thinking things through. That, Lord, that we would be filled with wisdom and also spiritual understanding. Things that don't come necessarily from your mind, but they come by the Spirit of God. And that we would be filled with both of those sources. All right. And that also that we would look to the Lord as our provider. Because every need that we will ever have in our life, every need that we'll ever have as a church family, God Almighty, He is the source. Not us. There's things that we're going to do in the natural, placement agencies and the web and different things like that. So we're going to get the word out, but that's not our source. God is our source. So could I ask you to pray with us as a church family? And again, if you're a little bit new, we would be happy to, if you're a visitor, you can pray with us. But let's lift up our voices to God. And I'm going to just pray, generally from here. Let's just, kind of follow. But I'm asking you to talk to God together. The Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000. And there's about, 1,100 people here today. Imagine how many we're going to put to flight as we look up to Jesus today. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you right now that, and we claim your word, that Miracle Life Family Church, Lord, our members, our staff, Lord, Pastor Haley, myself, our pastors, our board, Lord, the search team, the interview team, Lord, and the applicants, Lord. Lord, every single person involved in this, Lord, we thank you right now that we are led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Father, we expect that. It is a promise that we have from you. Lord, thank you that you gave us your Spirit and that He is alive and that He is at work in our church, corporately and individually. So, Lord, Father, we thank you that we're led by you. Father, I thank you that people will listen to your nudges and thoughts and ideas, Father, that, Lord, we won't just think or hear, but we will be led, Father. That is, that we'll take steps in you. Everything that you lead us to do, Father, we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll make a phone call. We'll do the next step. Father, we'll be a part of the answer. Father, we'll say the same thing. Thank you, Lord, that we're led. All of us, Father, corporately. We thank you for great grace that is on us. Lord, we claim Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, Father, for everyone involved in this. Lord, that each one shall be filled with the knowledge of your will. Father, not with ideas or thoughts or man-made ideas, but Father, that we would be filled with the knowledge of your will, with all wisdom, with all spiritual understanding. Father, thank you that you have these avenues, these paths into our life. We love you today, Father. We love you today. Father, we look to you as our provider. And Lord, we thank you that, Lord, at Miracle Life Family Church, and Lord, while humanly, Lord, we've not done everything perfectly, and Lord, we've been limited at times. Father, thank you that you've been so faithful, that your hand of provision, your hand of blessing, Lord, you've blessed us beyond our imagination. And so, Father, right now, as we have this need for an administrator, a need for an executive pastor, Father, we look to you, the giver, the author of life, the one who calls, the one who anoints, the one who equips. Father, we look to you as the provider, as the sender that sends people into your harvest field. Father, our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you today, Father. Lord, we trust you. We believe you together. Lord, we thank you for the great, great vision that you've given this church. Lord, that we will be a brighter light. We will be a greater influence of good and for you in our nation, in our city, around the world, Father. Lord, we thank you that we'll be a part of this generation. We'll be a part of this building team, Lord, that will help see this come to pass. Lord, we love you so much. We bless you today. We bless you today. Let's just lift up our hands. Let's just thank him. Let's just thank him right now. Just say this with me. Say, Father, we thank you for our executive pastor, for our administrator. Father, thank you that they're filled with the Spirit. They're called by you. Father, we see them and they see us. Father, thank you that they're in place doing their job. Father, and we will do our part. We're part of the family. Lord, we will trust you. We will give to this process. And thank you, Father. We expect, we are receiving from you in Jesus' name. Every need is met in abundance. In your name we pray. Let's just thank him right now. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We bless you. We honor you today, Father. We honor you today. We honor you today. Thank you, Lord. Let's just have a seat. We're going to do just a couple things before we go today. And if I could ask you, we're going to pray again, but for a different purpose. If you just bow your head with me, every head bowed, every eye closed. Miracle Life is one of the places where the family of God meets all around the world. It's a local church. And it's a part of a greater family that has our Father God as our Father, Jesus as our shepherd, the Holy Spirit as our guide, and the one who fills us and works in our life. And God's family is open to every single person on planet Earth. No matter where you've come from, no matter what you've done, God wants you in his family. And while he loves you, he cares for you, that invitation must be received by you. The Bible says, to as many as received Jesus, God gave those people the power to become the children of God. See, God's greatest gift of Jesus, the blood that he shed for us, that gift has to be received. And no one can receive that for you by proxy. You have to do it personally. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've not received him, he is inviting you, be a part of my family. Be a part of my life. I came to give you life. And while you may know some Christians and maybe you have family members that love you, you have to receive this gift yourself. But right now is God's invitation to you. Perhaps you are a believer, but you would say, I can't really say I'm a follower of Jesus at this time. In a sense, I turned my back on him and there were some things that happened. But right now, my life is filled with a lot of confusion, a lot of anger, a lot of disappointment, shame. The Bible says you can come home. You can come home to your family. You can come home to your Father. The Bible promises that he'll wrap his arms around you. He'll give you a home. He'll restore what was lost. He'll mend what was broken. He wants you back in his family. If you're here today and you realize that's me, I need to come home to my Father. In fact, maybe I don't even know if I know Jesus. I want to be a part of his family. Wherever you are right now, you can say yes. That happens in your heart, the Bible says, and happens by a confession, a profession of your faith. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus. I want to be a part of the family of God. I want to come home to him today. You're saying yes to him. Wherever you are, just lift up your hand right now. Just lift up your hand and wave it at me. Just say, that's me. I want to be a part of the family of God. Over here. God bless you. Thank you, ushers. Anyone else? Anyone else? Say, I want to be a part of the family of God. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? He loves you so much. Wonderful Jesus. All right. Those of you who have lifted up your hand, I want to pray a prayer with you. Could we all stand, all the congregation, could we stand to our feet at this time? If you lifted up your hand, would you just grab your handbag, your belongings, just come and meet me up front. We're going to pray a prayer together, and you're going to be a part of the family of God. Let's give them a big hand as they're coming over here, over here. Awesome. Now, you may be thinking, I didn't lift up my hand, but man, I realize I need to make this decision. I need to make this decision. Well, you can come. Just come right now. God bless you. Wonderful. Isn't he good? All right. Now, if I was going to give you this as a gift, how would you get it, right? You would reach out. So what God has for you is a gift. New life, forgiveness. You can't pay for it, but we do receive it. So I'd ask you just to lift up one of your hands towards heaven. Let's pray this prayer together. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe that you love me. You care for me. I believe that Jesus died for me. He was raised from the dead so that I could know you. I give you my heart. I give you my whole life. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a part of your family. When I die, I'm going to be with you in heaven. In your name I pray. Amen.